This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the master method to prepare for a high-stakes feedback conversation. 6 steps to work into your hardest feedback conversation fully prepared. In short, this article teaches the master method, a single 6-step framework for preparing and delivering high-stakes feedback conversations with structure, clarity, and control. Mental preparation using negative visualization so nothing surprises you. Structuring exactly 3 key points so your message stays focused under pressure. Reflecting after every conversation to build real, lasting feedback skill. Definition: the master method feedback framework is a 6-step preparation and execution system for high-stakes feedback conversations, covering mental preparation, anticipating objections, structuring key points, timing the conversation, engaging with full presence, and reflecting afterward. I have watched a good manager destroy a working relationship in 4 minutes. She had the right intention. She cared about the person. She had rehearsed the opening line twice in the mirror that morning. But the moment her team member pushed back, she lost the thread. She started over-explaining, then apologizing. Then she said something she could not take back, and the conversation that was meant to help became one both of them wanted to forget. The problem was never her intention. The problem was that she had no structure. Under pressure, without a reliable framework, people default to their worst habits. They go defensive. They go vague. They soften the message until it disappears, or they sharpen it until it cuts. Good intentions without structure rarely produce good outcomes. The master method feedback framework gives you that structure. I introduce it and Say It Right Every Time, specifically in Chapter 14, as a 6-step system for preparing and executing the kind of feedback conversations that actually matter. In this article, you will learn every step of the framework, when to reach for it, and how to apply it in a real conversation. If you want to go further with feedback delivery tools, the SBI method article pairs well with what you will find here. Why structure matters more than you think in feedback conversations. Most people believe that giving feedback well is a matter of personality. They think some people are just naturally direct, naturally warm, or naturally good at the hard conversations. They are wrong. What looks like natural ability is almost always practice structure, applied so many times that it has become invisible. When the pressure is on, you cannot rely on improvisation. Your nervous system is managing the other person's reaction, your own emotions, and the content of the message all at once. That is too much to hold without a framework underneath you. Here are the specific moments where having a structure makes the difference. When the person you're giving feedback to becomes defensive, a framework tells you where to return, rather than leaving you scrambling for your next sentence. When your own emotions rise during a difficult feedback conversation, a framework keeps you anchored to the message instead of the feeling. When you're giving feedback to someone more senior than you, a framework gives you the confidence to stay in the conversation rather than retreating. When a feedback conversation you thought would be simple suddenly becomes complicated, a framework gives you a recovery path instead of a dead end. When you finish a feedback conversation and feel it did not land, a framework gives you a way to reflect and improve rather than simply hoping for better luck next time. The frameworks in this article give you that structure. Use them until they become instinct. The Master Method. A 6-step framework for high-stakes feedback. The Master Method is a 6-step framework I developed and describe in detail in Chapter 14 of Say It Right Every Time. It is designed for feedback conversations where the stakes are real, a performance issue, a pattern of behavior that is hurting the team, or a relationship that needs honesty to survive. Each step covers a different phase of the conversation, from your mental state the night before to your reflection the morning after. Step 1. Mental preparation. What it is? Mental preparation is the deliberate work you do before the conversation begins to steady your thinking, manage your emotions, and get clear on why the conversation matters. What it is designed for? This step addresses the anxiety that makes people either avoid difficult feedback conversations or rush through them without care. It applies to any feedback conversation where you've felt your stomach drop at the thought of starting. How it works. Number 1. Negative visualization. Imagine the conversation going badly. Picture the specific things that could go wrong: the defensiveness, the raised voice, the silence. When you have already rehearsed the hard version in your mind, the real conversation rarely surprises you. Say to yourself, if they push back hard, I will pause and say, I hear that this is difficult to take in. Give me a moment. What I need you to understand is this. Number two, clarify your purpose. Ask yourself one question before you walk in. What is the one outcome I need from this conversation? Not three outcomes. One, write it down. If the answer is I need them to understand that the reports have to be accurate, that is your anchor for the entire conversation. Number three, regulate your physical state. Your body language and tone carry at least as much weight as your words in a feedback conversation. Breathe slowly before you begin. Slow your pace. Sit rather than stand if it reduces tension in the room. When to use it. Use the step for any feedback conversation where you felt reluctance, anxiety, or the temptation to delay. It is especially valuable before giving feedback to someone who has reacted badly in the past. When not to use it. If the feedback is minor and the relationship is strong, you do not need to spend significant time here. Save deep mental preparation for the conversations that genuinely keep you up the night before. A quick example in practice. Before meeting with a team member about repeated missed deadlines, you take 10 minutes the evening before. You imagine him going silent and crossing his arms. You rehearse your response. I understand this is uncomfortable. I still need us to work through it. You write your one outcome he leaves understanding that this pattern has to change. You arrive at the meeting steadier than you expected. Eamon's take. There are conversations so difficult, so high stakes, so emotionally charged that they require more than the basics. They require mastery. Mental preparation is where that mastery begins. Step 2. A. Anticipating objections. What it is. Anticipating objections means mapping out, in advance, the specific pushback, excuses, or deflections the other person is likely to raise, and preparing your clear, factual responses before the conversation starts. What it is designed for. This step is designed for feedback conversations where the person receiving the feedback is likely to dispute the facts, redirect blame, or attempt to shift the focus away from the core issue. How it works. Number 1. List the 3 most likely objections. Write them down. That is not what happened. You never told me that was a requirement. Other people do the same thing. These are real objections, and they deserve real responses prepared in advance. Number 2. Prepare fact-based responses. For each objection, write the specific facts that address it. Not opinions. Not feelings. Facts. On the 14th, 21st, and 28th, the report arrived after the deadline. I have those dates noted. Manipulation thrives in confusion. Clarity kills it. Number 3. Practice staying on message. If the person deflects, your job is to return to your key point without escalating. A useful phrase. I hear what you're saying, and I still need us to come back to the pattern I described. When to use it. Use this step whenever you are giving feedback to someone who has disputed feedback before, or whenever the facts of the situation could be reasonably questioned. When not to use it. If the person receiving feedback has a strong history of taking responsibility well, over-preparing for objections can make you come across as defensive or combative before the conversation has begun. A quick example in practice. You are preparing to give feedback to a colleague who tends to blame external factors. You write down her likely objection. The client changed the brief at the last minute. Your prepared response. The brief changed on the 3rd. The deadline was the 17th. There were 14 days to adapt. That is what I need us to talk about. Eamon's take. I've seen people walk into feedback conversations with the best intentions and walk out having been completely redirected. Anticipating objections is not paranoia. It is respect for the difficulty of the conversation. Step 3. S. Structuring key points. What it is. Structuring key points means deciding, before the conversation begins, on exactly 3 points you need to make, in the order you will make them, so your message stays focused regardless of what happens in the room. What it is designed for. This step addresses the tendency to ramble, overexplain, or bury the core message under too much context. It is essential for any feedback conversation where clarity of message is the difference between change and confusion. How it works. Number 1. Choose exactly 3 points. Not 2. Not 5. 3. 1 for the specific behavior or issue. 1 for the impact it is having. 1 for what you need to change. This structure maps directly onto the SPVI method, which you can use alongside this step to sharpen your language further. Number 2. Write them in plain sentences. Do not use corporate language. Write exactly what you intend to say. The reports have contained errors in 3 consecutive months. This is creating rework for the finance team. I need this to be clean from next month forward. Number 3. Decide your opening line. The first sentence sets the tone for everything that follows in a feedback conversation. Make it direct, clear, and free of softening language that obscures the message. When to use it? Use this step for every feedback conversation above the level of casual, passing comments. 3 points is not a minimum. It is also the maximum when not to use it. If the feedback conversation is genuinely exploratory, where you're trying to understand a situation before making any judgments, this step can make you sound like you have already decided. In those cases, lead with questions before you lead with points. A quick example in practice. You write your 3 points before the meeting. First, the last 3 client proposals had significant formatting inconsistencies. Second, 2 clients mentioned it, which affects how we are perceived. Third, I need a quality check process in place before proposals go out. You open the meeting with exactly those 3 sentences. The conversation stays on track because your anchor is clear. Eamon's take. I learned this the hard way. Every time I walked into a feedback conversation with more than 3 points, I left having made none of them land. 3 is not a limitation. 3 is precision. Step 4. T. Timing the conversation. What it is. Timing the conversation means choosing the right moment, setting, and medium for the feedback so the conditions work for the conversation rather than against it. What it is designed for. This step addresses the damage done when feedback is given at the wrong time, in the wrong place, or through the wrong channel. A high-stakes feedback conversation delivered by text message or in a corridor is almost guaranteed to fail. How it works. Number 1. Choose the richest appropriate medium. In person is the richest medium for feedback that matters. Video call is second. Phone call is third. Email should be reserved for written records, not primary feedback delivery. Text message is almost never appropriate for feedback above the level of a minor. Passing note. If a conversation has started by text, move it. This feels like a conversation we should have by phone or in person. When can we talk? Number 2. Choose the right moment in the day. Do not give significant feedback in the final 15 minutes before someone leaves for the weekend. Do not give it immediately after a stressful event. Give the person enough time and mental space to actually hear what you're saying. Number 3. Consider the setting. Private conversations stay private. Feedback delivered in front of others, even gently, carries a public dimension that changes how it is received. If the feedback is individual, the room should contain only the 2 of you. When to use it. Use this step for any feedback conversation with real consequences. The higher the stakes, the more care the timing deserves. Consider reading how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy for guidance on opening moments, specifically when not to use it. For brief, positive, in the moment feedback, timing analysis is unnecessary. Some feedback is best given immediately, in the moment it is warranted. A quick example in practice. You have been meaning to address a colleague's communication style with clients for 2 weeks. You book a 30-minute slot on a Tuesday morning in a quiet meeting room with no other agenda items scheduled directly after. You do not send the feedback by email first. You arrive, close the door, and begin. Eamon's take. I have seen feedback that was accurate, well-structured, and kindly intended to fail entirely because it was delivered in the wrong place at the wrong time. Timing is not a detail. It is part of the message. Step 5. E. Engaging with full presence. What it is. Engaging with full presence means giving the feedback conversation your complete attention. No phone, no half-formed next agenda item, no part of your mind already planning your response before the other person has finished speaking. What it is designed for. This step is designed for the moment the conversation is happening. It is about what you do in the room, not what you prepared beforehand. Full presence is what separates feedback that connects from feedback that lands like a memo. How it works. Number 1. Listen before you respond. When the person receiving feedback speaks, your job is to understand before you answer. Summarize what you heard before giving your next point. What I'm hearing you say is that you did not know the deadline had moved. Is that right? This is not agreement. It is active listening, and it keeps the conversation from becoming a confrontation. Number 2. Watch for emotion as information. If the other person becomes upset, that is not a sign to back away from the message. It is information about what the message means to them. You can acknowledge the emotion without abandoning the point. I can see this is hard to hear. The issue still needs to be addressed. Number 3. Stay in the conversation. If things become heated, do not end the conversation out of discomfort. Instead, slow down. Pause. Breathe. If the conversation genuinely needs a break, name that directly. I think we both need a few minutes. Let us pick this up in 15. When to use it? Every time. Full presence is not optional for high-stakes feedback. It is the difference between a conversation and a performance. When not to use it? There is no situation where less presence is better. If you cannot give this conversation your full attention right now, postpone it to when you can. A quick example in practice. Halfway through a difficult feedback conversation, the other person's voice starts to shake. Your instinct is to soften the message. Instead, you pause, hold eye contact, and say, I can see this is landing hard. That matters to me. And I still need us to finish this conversation, because I think it will help. You stay present. The conversation continues. Eamon's take. People who feel heard rarely explode. People who feel like they're being processed often do. Full presence is not a soft skill. It is one of the most powerful things you can bring into a feedback conversation. Step 6. R. Reflecting afterward. What it is. Reflecting afterward means deliberately reviewing the conversation within 24 hours, asking specific questions about what worked, what did not, and what you will do differently next time. What it is designed for. This step is designed for your growth as someone who gives feedback. Without reflection, you repeat the same mistakes across dozens of conversations. With it, every difficult feedback conversation makes you better at the next one. How it works. Number 1. Ask 3 specific questions. What did I say that landed well? What did I say that I regret or would change? What did the other person need that I did not give them? Write your answers down. The act of writing forces honesty. Number 2. Assess the outcome against your purpose. Before the conversation, you wrote down your one outcome. Did you achieve it? If not, why not? Was it the message, the timing, the delivery, or the other person's readiness to hear it? Number 3. Decide on one repair or one next step. If the conversation left something unresolved, name what needs to happen next. If the conversation went well, but you said something you regret, address it directly rather than letting it sit. A useful opening. I have been thinking about our conversation, and I do not feel good about how one part of it went. Can we talk? For conversations that went seriously wrong, the recover method, which I cover alongside the master method and say it right every time, gives you a full 7-step repair framework. When to use it. After every feedback conversation that mattered, whether it went well or badly. Especially after the ones that went well, because it is easy to stop learning when things go right. When not to use it. If the feedback was minor and clearly received well, a brief mental note is enough. Save formal reflection for conversations that carry real weight. A quick example in practice. After a feedback conversation that felt rushed, you sit down that evening with a notebook. You write, I cut off her response too quickly. I was nervous and moved to my next point before she had finished. Next time, wait for silence before moving on. 6 weeks later, in your next difficult feedback conversation, you notice yourself waiting. The habit has started to form. Eamon's take. Knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things. Reflection is the bridge between those two states. It is where skill actually builds. How to choose the right framework for your feedback situation. Knowing the framework is only half the work. Knowing which step to prioritize is the other half. Situation, most critical master step. You are dreading the conversation and keep postponing it. Mental preparation and negative visualization. The person frequently disputes facts or redirects blame. Anticipating objections with written, factual responses. You tend to ramble or lose focus during feedback. Structuring exactly 3 key points in advance. The last feedback conversation you had went badly due to poor setting or medium T. Timing the conversation in the right place and channel. The other person shut down or escalated during your last feedback attempt. Engaging with full presence and active listening. You keep repeating the same mistakes across different feedback conversations. Are reflecting afterward with specific written questions. The conversation went wrong and needs repair. Recover method. Covered alongside this framework. In some situations, 2 steps demand equal attention. If you're giving feedback to someone who both disputes facts and has a history of becoming emotional, you need A and E in equal measure. Prepare your factual responses carefully, and also prepare your presence for what the room will feel like when the emotion arrives. If you are uncertain where to start, begin with them. Mental preparation is the foundation under every other step. When in doubt, start with the simplest step. Complexity is not strength. Common mistakes when using the master framework for feedback. Frameworks only work when you use them with discipline, not as a checklist you glance at once and then ignore. Skipping the mental preparation step because you feel confident. Confidence is not preparation. Even experienced managers benefit from taking 10 minutes to visualize the hard version of the conversation. Overconfidence is often what causes the conversation to go sideways. Preparing objections, but becoming rigid when new ones appear. The step asks you to anticipate likely objections, not to script every possible response. If the conversation takes an unexpected turn, stay anchored to your three key points rather than trying to match every deflection. Writing more than three key points in the S step. Three is not an arbitrary number. It is the maximum that a difficult feedback conversation can reliably hold. More than three, and none of them land clearly. Choosing a medium that feels convenient rather than appropriate. Sending feedback that belongs in a room through an email is one of the most common ways feedback conversations fail before they begin. The role of communication in meeting success covers medium selection in depth if you want to think this through further. Treating the R step as optional. Reflection is where the real growth happens. Every difficult feedback conversation you skip reflecting on is a lesson you paid for and chose not to collect. A framework used badly is still better than no framework, but a framework used well is a genuine advantage. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books they write every time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. How to start using the master method for feedback today. Do not try to master all six steps at once. That is a reliable way to master none of them. Number 1. Start with your next real feedback conversation. Identify one conversation you have been putting off. Work through the M step only. Take 10 minutes. Imagine the hard version of the conversation. Write your one outcome. Then have the conversation. Notice what changes when you arrive prepared rather than anxious. Number 2. Add one step per conversation. After you have used M twice, add A to your preparation. After you have used M and A together, add S. Build the framework step by step over a series of real conversations, not by reading and rehearsing in isolation. This approach mirrors the progressive skill building sequence I describe in Chapter 15 of Say It Right Every Time, where you move from low stakes to high stakes conversations as your confidence builds. Number 3. Use the R step after every conversation, no exceptions. This is the one step you can start immediately after your very next feedback conversation, regardless of how prepared you were going in. Ask yourself the three questions. Write the answers. One page is enough. Do this consistently, and you will see your feedback conversations improve faster than you expect. Number 4. Find a practice partner. Ask a trusted colleague to role-play a feedback conversation with you once a month. Use the framework. Let them push back hard. If you want to develop team-wide feedback culture alongside your own skills, the article on how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy is a good companion resource. Frameworks are tools. The more you use them, the less you have to think about them. Key takeaways. Here is what to carry with you from this article. The Master Method Feedback Framework gives you a full preparation system for the feedback conversations that actually matter before, during, and after. Mental preparation using negative visualization removes the element of surprise from even the most difficult feedback conversations. Three key points is not a minimum. It is the maximum your message can carry clearly under real pressure. Timing and medium are not logistics. They are part of the message itself. Full presence during a feedback conversation is not a soft quality. It is a technical skill you can practice and improve. Reflection is where skill actually compounds. Skip it, and you pay for every conversation twice. If you want to sharpen the language you use inside the conversation itself, the SPVI method works directly alongside Master for building these skills in the context of a diverse team, running inclusive meetings with diverse teams, and how to use the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback both extend what you have learned here. The Strong method offers a parallel preparation framework worth knowing. The Master method feedback system will not make difficult conversations easy. Nothing will. But it will make sure that when the moment comes, you are ready for it. Frequently asked questions. What is the Master Method Feedback Framework? The Master Method Feedback Framework is a six-step preparation system for high-stakes feedback conversations. It covers mental preparation, anticipating objections, structuring key points, timing the conversation, engaging with full presence, and reflecting afterward. Each step builds your readiness before and after the conversation. How do you use the Master Method to prepare for a difficult feedback conversation? Work through each of the six steps before the conversation begins. Prepare mentally using negative visualization. Map out likely objections. Write your three key points. Choose the right time and setting. Commit to full presence during the conversation. And schedule a reflection session within 24 hours of finishing. When should you use the Master Method for feedback conversations? Use the Master Method when the feedback carries real consequences, a performance issue, a repeated behavior, or relationship under strain. It is designed for conversations where winging it will cost you. For minor, low-stakes feedback, a simpler approach is usually sufficient. What does each letter in Master stand for in the feedback method? M stands for mental preparation. A stands for anticipating objections. S stands for structuring key points. T stands for timing the conversation. E stands for engaging with full presence. R stands for reflecting afterward. Together, these six steps cover the full arc of a high-stakes feedback conversation. How is the Master Method different from other feedback frameworks like SBI? The SBI method structures what you say during feedback by covering situation, behavior, and impact. The Master Method prepares you for the entire conversation, before, during, and after. They work well together. Use SBI to shape your message, and Master to prepare for everything surrounding it. Can the Master Method help if a feedback conversation goes wrong? The R step, reflecting afterward, is specifically designed for this. If the conversation did not go as planned, reflection helps you identify what broke down and what to do differently. For conversations that go seriously off track, the Recover Method covered in the same chapter provides a dedicated repair framework. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.